Bethlehem. Now, Archippus is only mentioned twice in Holy Scripture. We have it here in Colossians 4, verse 17, and in Philemon and the verse 2. Now, any Bible student doing Bible numbers will know that the number 2 is the number of witness in Scripture. In the Old Testament, we are reminded that in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. And we find it even in the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, that there were two witnesses that would rise in the last days. And I say to you, therefore, that the number 2 in Scripture is the number of witness. And when God puts a man's name once in the Bible, then that should draw our attention to it. We wouldn't need a second reminder. But God puts him in twice. And there's a reason for that. There is an emphasis, therefore, that God is bearing testimony, giving witness in his holy word to an individual that you and I have never met, an individual who is now with Christ in the glory, yet an individual who worked alongside the Apostle Paul, an individual that it was evident it was a believer. And yet there's scant evidence in Scripture as to what exactly he did, where he came from, and what his task was in the kingdom of heaven. But nevertheless, he's still in Scripture, and we would do well to look at him. I've never preached on Archippus, and I have prepared the message fresh in that sense, and I was blessed in my own soul because it really does speak to a minister. It speaks to a pastor. I couldn't help but thinking that I could put a bit more meat on this bone that I'm going to give you tonight, and bring a message like this to the week of prayer and to ministers and pastors and to Bible students, because I believe in many ways that's exactly what it refers to. But there's no doubt whatsoever that the Lord would have every child of God learn from the life of this individual, Archippus. Now, he very likely was the son of Philemon. I hope I don't get in trouble for saying that. But I feel sure when I read Scripture, that's how it reads to me, that he's Philemon's son, Archippus. You ever get a Bible question in a quiz sometime, and someone says to you, who was Philemon's son? I guarantee you, there's even ministers who will not be able to answer that one. But I'm convinced that that's exactly who he is. Now, maybe you've kept the place open, I'm not sure, but Philemon. But let me read to you Philemon verses 1 and 2 very slowly. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, that's one, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus. So he mentions 3 in that household, a husband, Philemon, a wife, Apphia, and then a son, Archippus. And I do believe that that's exactly who this man actually is. He is the son of Philemon. And you should keep that in mind because we will make reference to that very shortly. We also believe that he was a minister. In fact, in Philemon, whenever that word fellow soldier is used, it is only used twice in the New Testament, and it's always used of a minister, Epaphroditus or Archippus. And what Paul was saying here is, my colleague in the ministry, my fellow soldier in the battle in the kingdom of heaven. And we do believe, whenever we look at what is being said in the book of Colossians, that in reference to either the church at Colossae or the church at Laodicea, that he was a pastor of one of those two churches. And if you have your Bible open at Colossians, let's just read there in verse 16, and that'll give us the context for verse 17. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And in connection with the church at Laodicea, he then goes on to say, and say to Archippus. Because he was either a minister of Colossae, the pastor of the church in Colossae, or else he was the pastor or minister of the church in Laodicea. Either way, Paul addresses him as a minister, as a pastor. And I do believe that he was a pastor of one of those two places, a Epiphras or Epaphras, as you would usually would take the name. He was also the pastor in Colossae. But Epaphras, Epaphras, if you want to call it like that, just to keep as we've all known him, he was in prison in Rome along with Paul. And therefore, because Paul says he's my fellow prisoner when we looked at his life. So in the absence of Epaphras in Colossae as their minister, they didn't have a minister. Archippus most likely was the preacher. And he also may have been the pastor of the church in Laodicea. He could have been looking after both churches. And that's not unusual. We have that today. We have a man who has his own charge, his own church, and then he becomes what is known as an interim moderator. He looks after another church. Well, that was the case with the Reverend Samuel Murray. In the absence of a minister here and an under-shepherd in this house, you had one minister doing the job for two churches. Well, there's no arguing against that. Either he was the pastor of Colossae, or else Laodicea, or else he looked after both churches. So we don't think we're wrong in saying that. Now, if this record is correct, then we have no reason to doubt whatsoever what Scripture implies concerning this man, Archippus, then we would conclude and say that he was the son of godly parents, and that was Philemon and Apphia, his mother and father. He was brought up in a godly home, and he had good Christian godly parents, and therefore he had great influence in the gospel. Also, he was a member because he, along with his mum and dad, they would have attended the church in Colossae. And the church also that for a time was in the house of Philemon. So therefore, he was a member of a good Christ-centered church, a sound church, a biblically based fellowship, a pure church, a separated church, and an evangelistic church for that matter. And also he had a divine calling from God to the ministry. Therefore, God had given him a distinct call. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So he was gifted as a pastor, and he had the preaching gift, and he had the pastoral gift as well. He had been ordained to the Christian ministry. And so we find here's an individual on Scripture that very few people look at, very few people have considered, and yet when we look at the record, we conclude that he was an individual who was the son of Philemon. And the story of Onesimus and the runaway slave, the epistle to Philemon. And he was also a member of the church in Colossae. And furthermore, he was ordained to the Christian ministry, and he was either the pastor of the church at Colossae in the absence of Epaphras, who was in prison in Rome with Paul, or he was a pastor of the church in Laodicea. Either way, he could have been looking after both churches. And yet, remarkably, to this individual, with all his pedigree, all his upbringing, this young man with all his education, and with all his spiritual learning and godly teaching and influence, remarkably to this man, a warning was sent from God. A word came from the Holy Spirit and singled this man out among the church at Colossae and at Laodicea. God put upon Paul's heart a compulsion to send a very special message to this individual, Archippus. It was a solemn warning. And it was a personal exhortation. I have to say that it literally goes like this. I have something to say to Archippus. This privileged individual. I want you to speak to this honored servant of Christ. I have a word from God for Archippus. And I received this word. And I've written it to you. I want you now to take this word to this man, a word from God through the Apostle Paul, and I want you to say to him, and I want this to be done because the word say literally means to command. It literally means command. That's what the word means. Say, it means command, Archippus. And Paul had to speak with this language because it was important. And we'll see very soon why it was important that this man received this word from God. A timely message. A very, very timely word. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. I wonder, has Christ, the head of the church, got something to say to you tonight? Has he got something to say to me? Have you come to the prayer meeting tonight and the Lord's saying, say to that man, speak to that woman, exhort that young person, take heed and fulfill your God-given task and God-appointed ministry. No matter what that is in the body of Christ, because in its secondary application, while it's given to the pastor and to the Christian minister, and it's a timely exhortation in these days of compromise for men like myself in pulpits ordained to Christian ministry. Say to Thomas Martin tonight, speak to that man, single that minister out. I have a word for him. You, Thomas Martin, take heed to your ministry which you have received in the Lord, or literally from the Lord and from being in a right relationship with him. He has given you this ministry, not the free church. And you're not ordained as such of man, but of God. That's exactly what the word refers to. That's why I said to you, we could, without doubt, take a word like this to the week of prayer and preach it, no matter who's gathered, minister, lay preacher, I, elder, I, even those that are students and whatever, and evangelists and missionaries. But it's equally, we could bring it to the church. Has Christ looked over our lives tonight? Has Christ seen into our hearts? Has he observed our work, like the churches in the book of the Revelation, the seven churches? I know thy works. Has he looked into your heart and mine? Or does he have something to tell you tonight or to say to you tonight? Has he a word for you this evening? Well, I'm sure he has whenever we just consider the word that we have here. I've no special revelation from God. There's no private time with God today whereby he told me to tell you. I don't believe in those things. But God gave me the word. And I believe in the word is the spirit of prophecy and is the voice of God to your soul. So I suppose that what Christ through Paul said to Archippus will serve as a word in season for all of God's faithful people. Say to my people, take heed to your ministry, your work, your God-appointed, God-given task, that you fulfill it. And let nothing stop you walking with God, serving the Lord, speaking out, standing up, and going on with Christ. Two very simple thoughts from this exhortation and command to Archippus. First of all, I want you to think about the privilege that he was given. Verse 17 reminds us, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. Archippus was given the unique and the wonderful privilege and great responsibility of being a minister in Christ's church, a pastor over the Lord's flock. He had a divine calling from God. And he had a great responsibility laid upon him to live up to that heavenly vision and to fulfill his God-given task. He was exhorted to take heed, a very timely word. It literally means, and I believe it's a word that's taken not just from the Greek, but also from the Hebrew. There's an actual mixture here in the word of the Greek and the Hebrew. Paul drawing both of the sacred languages together in order to get the message across to this servant of Christ. Take heed, literally meaning guard and protect your work and your ministry. It literally means to put a thorn bush or a hedge around you to keep the enemy out. It means to give attention to. It means to focus upon, or literally to watch. If we take the Greek, It means to watch. Be careful about your ministry. Don't be slack. And then the word say. It means literally to charge. The same way Paul said, I charge you that ye fulfill. In other places. I looked at the word today, that word say myself. I looked at it today. I looked at it where it was translated in the Bible. Every single reference to it, I'm not going to give these references to you. I looked at them all today for my own benefit. And what a tremendous word. How it was used. And it's always used by way of command. It's always used by way of giving a charge. And therefore, this was not just some suggestion. Oh, by the way, would you pass on a little word to Archippus? As if you forget about it, it doesn't matter. You know the way we would say to someone, and you meet them, how you keeping? You keeping okay? Here, pass on my regards to your wife, would you? And most occasions, let's be honest, if the person met your wife and said, well, I was talking to your husband the other day, did he pass on my regards? No, he never even told me you were talking to him, or talking to him. And that is the truth. We generally don't pass on what people ask us, but this is not just basically pass on my regards. Or he'll, by the way, say to Archippus that just be careful and watch about those false teachers at Colossae and watch about the spirit of lukewarmness that's creeping into the church in Laodicea. And that's for sure. I think he was warned long before the church became lukewarm. And if he was the pastor of that church at the time whenever the Lord wrote to the seven churches, and if Archippus was the pastor of that church had become lukewarm. Maybe it was a timely word. Maybe, Archippus, you didn't take heed to your ministry and you were lukewarm. And a lukewarm preacher will be a lukewarm congregation. That's a fact. And in many ways it is true. That a congregation can reflect the state of their minister and they could rise only to the heights of their pastor. And that's why the word is timely for me. Take heed. But I will say this to you, that Archippus, while he was given this great responsibility, he was commanded of Paul. In other words, it literally means, because you remember what the devil said to our Lord? It's the same word. Remember what the devil said to our Lord whenever he was being tempted? The devil said, command these stones that they be turned into bread. And our Lord was literally asked by the devil to speak to these stones and to say to them. And yet the devil uses this word. It's translated say here in Colossians. But in Matthew's gospel and the other gospels, this word say is translated the way it should be. It literally command. And that's what the devil said to the Lord. Command. Just speak the word. Say the word. And these stones will become bread. Because he was hungered after the 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. And then the devil tempted him. And the Lord answered, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, and the man shall not live by bread alone, and all those words that he brought from the book of Deuteronomy. But that's exactly what the word say means. So Paul isn't just suggesting, by the way, just tell Archippus if you ever see him. Or if he ever comes along to the church, if he's on holiday and he calls in, or if you're over in Laodicea and you say, oh, by the way, Paul wrote a letter to us. We read it there a few Sundays ago. And by the way, he says to you to take heed. No, this was a command. And Paul was wanting this to be done. And then, of course, fulfill your ministry. It's an interesting word. I think one of the illustrations, although it's not the same word, by the way, but one of the illustrations, if you wanted an understanding of this word, remember the time the Lord turned water into wine and they brought the water pots, and the word is there that they were filled to the brim with water, and he turned them into wine. Well, that's the meaning here, to fill to the brim. It's not the same Greek word, fill, to fulfill, but it has the illustration. That's exactly the illustration there. Fill to the brim. That is, when you meet the Lord, you don't want to come empty-handed. You don't want to come with a half-filled cup. That's what that means. You want to meet the Lord with your hands full of ministry and service and prayer and holy living and witnessing and all of those Christian values and virtues. You don't want to come empty-handed. You don't want to be half-filled, as it were, and offer the Lord something that is a meagre measure. That's exactly what means here. Accomplish your work. Finish your course. That's what Paul could say, writing to Timothy. He was no hypocrite. He wasn't preaching one thing and then practicing another. He said, Archippus, you fill to the brim your life in working for Christ. Let there be nothing slacking. Don't be idle. You work for the Lord. You fulfill your ministry. Fill it up to the brim. No half measures in your ministry. No looking for an easy road. No easy way out. We would say today to ministers, get into the study. Study the Word of God. Don't buy your sermons off other people. Don't download them from the internet. Don't get your friends to send you their sermons and their studies, or a full week of meetings, or a full maybe year of a series or a study. Get into the Word yourself. Study the Word for your own benefit. Bring it to the people fresh and fulfill your ministry. It's like me meeting the Lord and the Lord saying, Thomas, I'm examining your works now at the judgment seat of Christ, and all these works being burned away. And you say, Lord, all those sermons, yes, you downloaded every one of them. They were never from you. They were never got on your knees before God. You never wrestled in prayer over them. You never spent hours studying the Word of God. Everybody else did it. You borrowed from them and you preached it to the people, and you never had a message from me. You never had a word from God. All you had was the truth of God. That's all. There's a world of difference, an eternity of difference in preaching the truth of God and the message that God gives to the pastor. When I first came to Lisburn as a student, and then I became a licentiate, and then I was ordained to Christian ministry, in their prayer meetings they prayed a prayer that caused the hairs, not on the front but on the back of my head, to stand up. There was a chill down my spine. I heard them praying it. I was there in the meeting, and they said this: Lord, remember thy servant for the Lord's day. That was me. I was preaching on the Lord's Day for maybe the first few months of ordained ministry, and even as a licentiate and a student. And they continued to pray that all the days that I spent there. And they prayed, Lord, remember thy servant on the Lord's Day. We don't want a sermon, Lord. Take him aside. That's what they said. Counsel him. And let him have a word from the mouth of God. And let him be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Let me tell you something, I left that prayer meeting. I'm small now, but I tell you, I felt that. And I says, Lord, how could I ever get to that stage? But God taught me how to do it, and disciplined me in the study, and hours upon hours in preaching the Word of God. And maybe sometimes I come in for unfair criticism, for being long-winded. I tell you, I over-prepare. And it's very hard to know what to leave out that might benefit you. Very difficult. But I know I'll answer to God for every sermon I've preached, whether it's short or long. Answer to God. But when God gives me the word and I have an honest word from God that he has given me on my knees and in the study, I have the right before the Lord to preach it. I have the right. I really have the right. And I've resisted that for 24 years. 24 years. The sheer pressure to reduce the preaching of the word. To cut it back to 20 minutes. And you know the story of the camel and the Arab. And the camel says, I only want my nose in. And the Arab lets his nose in. And he says, you know, I just want my neck in. And the neck goes in. You know the story. I just want the hump, or the double hump in. I just want my back legs in. My tail's cold. And before you know it, the camel's in and the Arab's out. Well, the more we cut down on the Word of God, then the entertainment's in and the preaching's out. And that's a sad day for the church when there's no word from God. Central, and I say this theologically sound, that even above the sacrament of the church, because I know people miss the Lord's table, but the preaching of the word is still there. And that's central to everything for building up believers and rescuing the lost. For glorifying Christ in the gospel is the preaching of the word. That's why this epistle They took their time and they read it. And no doubt there was debate afterward. What does that mean? There was explanation. People might say, well, is that what he means there? Yes, that's exactly what Paul's saying, yes. And there was exposition of the letter. It wasn't just read, right, cheerio, away you go. No, no. It was given and then it was explained, taught, and then retaught, explained and retaught, till they got the message. I remember what Paul said. Read this in Laodicea. And then in Laodicea, make sure you read that epistle as well at Colossae. And so time was given to the preaching of the word. Every believer, every child of God has received a ministry in the Lord. You may never be in a pulpit. You may never sing in this pulpit. I know people who have testified and sung in this pulpit. Just randomly, but you never hear me singing in this pulpit except with the congregation. But there are some who never stand up and testify. Some may never public speak, but I want to say something to you. You have a ministry. Because in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 7, we read these words, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man and woman to profit with all. That is, to benefit the church, to cause the church to profit. And Ephesians 4, 7, the church at Ephesus was reminded, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. So Archippus, you've got a gift for ministry, take heed to it, fulfill it. But every child of God has a personal gift from God. I want to say to you that there are gifts we all share, and then there are special gifts that others have. That's a fact. So what is the ministry we have all received of the Lord? What's our God-appointed, God-given task? What is it that we should take heed to? What is it that God would say to us tonight? What is it that we have to fulfill? Well, what about the ministry of prayer? Every child of God has that given, God-given task and ministry. Take heed to your prayer life, that you fulfill it. Say to such and such tonight, say to that minister in the pulpit tonight, take heed to your prayer life. Central to everything is prayer. And I say this, I love the word of God, but even before ministry, the order of the divine word is Acts chapter 6, verse 4. But we will give ourselves to prayer and then to the ministry of the word. And a minister who doesn't pray, spend time on his knees, I want to tell you this, he's wasting his time in the pulpit. Wasting his time. He might as well go and get secular employment. That's his first task. And so every child of God, Bible reading and study. Take heed to your Bible reading and the study of Scripture. Holy living, take heed. Fulfill it. Your fellowship. And I know we're talking maybe in normal times fellowship, because we know it's not possible to have everyone present. So we're not talking about that. But take heed to the times of worship in the house, to the prayer meetings, and to other things. And I do believe walking with Christ before a godless world, standing and speaking up for Christ, separation from the world and its sinful pleasures, living that life that pleases Christ and yet benefits our fellow man. Whether you're a good father or a good mother, whether you're a good husband or a good wife, whether you're obedient son or daughter, whether you're an individual who's serving in the local or the larger church for that matter, or a Sunday school teacher, or a children's worker, or a young person, or young adults worker, or an office of elder or deacon in the church, or whether you're a bus driver, or you open and close the church, or whether you clean and tidy both inside and outside the church, whether you're an organist or a pianist, or whether you're someone who has a writing or a phone ministry, or you're just an encourager of God's people, whatever it is, the Lord has a word for you tonight, and it's this: take heed to your divinely appointed, God-given task, and make sure you finish well, and you fill up the cup to the brim, crammed in, full and overflowing. So here we have Archippus, the privilege he was given, and finally, Archippus, the caution he received. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And it is as if Christ is saying to Archippus, the work you've been called to do, complete it. The ministry you've been chosen for, fulfill it. The task that I have given you, accomplish it. The duty that I've placed upon you and the responsibility that you have, I want you to fill it up to the brim. It's as though Christ is saying to us as well, the work I have given you to do, I want you to complete that work. I want you to finish it, accomplish it, and perfect it for me. This is what Christ requires of all his servants. Unhesitating, unquestionable, and unconditional obedience to his command. Say, take heed, fulfill your God-given appointed task. So he expects diligence and wholeheartedness in fulfilling the work that he has given us to do. It doesn't matter whether you're just bringing up children. It doesn't matter whether you're now focusing on grandchildren. It doesn't matter what you're doing for the Lord. God has a word for you. Take heed to it and watch and make sure you fulfill it. Let me ask the question as we close. Had Archippus been unfaithful? Had he been taking things easy? Had he become undisciplined in his life? Had he grown cold? Had he lost heart? Had he become careless? You say, well, a minister wouldn't be like that, would he not? We've lost one of our own. Just about a month ago, the Reverend Noel Hughes. And Noel lost heart. A dear brother, beloved in God, dear friend of mine. And he had resigned from the ministry. Maybe never to preach again. And so it's a timely warning to pastors and ministers, especially myself. Take ye heed. Had Archippus been unfaithful, I don't know. Had he grown cold? I'm not sure, but if he was the pastor of the church at Laodicea, I suspect he did. Because I can't see a fiery man in the pulpit and a cold church. Because coldness in the church and a fiery man in the pulpit, the people will leave. They will leave if they are not warmed by his preaching. That's a fact. And a cold congregation will accept a cold preacher. And a lukewarm fellowship will accept a lukewarm pastor. But a pastor on fire for God, lukewarm Christians, if they're not willing to put it right, they will leave. That's a fact. I'm not saying everybody who leaves churches, by the way, that's the reason behind it. It's not. There are many reasons. But on this occasion, the church at Laodicea, and if Archippus, you've been the pastor there, then we're asking the question, why did Paul have to say to you, to take heed to your ministry? Why? Because we read in the book of the Revelation all about the church at Laodicea, that it had become lukewarm. Isn't it associated? If I was to ask a Bible question from the youngest child to the oldest Christian, I would say, which church in the Bible was lukewarm? Laodicea. Well, that was the church, I believe, Archippus was the pastor of. Maybe long before it became lukewarm. Well, there's no doubt Paul, under inspiration of the Spirit, gave a timely warning. Archippus, take heed. Now, what I can say is this, in chapter 2 of the book of Colossians, that Paul spoke about false teachers and damnable heresies that were about to creep into the church at Colossae. And if he was stepping in for Epiphras or Epaphras as pastor, then the word was this, and it's positive, and you've done nothing wrong, Archippus. Take heed to the ministry here, and don't let those false teachers and those damnable heresies creep into your public ministry. So either way, it was a solemn warning. And so, I'm convinced of it. It's a timely warning from the lips of the Savior. It was designed to save this man's ministry, and it was designed to save him from spiritual shipwreck and also to keep the work of God healthy and prosperous. May the Lord speak to us all in these days. Preacher, down into the pew, that we may fulfill our God-given, God-appointed tasks and ministry and complete our course for Christ and be able to say at the end of the day, like the Apostle Paul, that I have run my race. I have finished the course. And there's laid up for me that crown of righteousness. I would suggest, Archippus, it could have gone either way, but we're not sure. You could have been very faithful, or else you could have grown cold yourself. We don't really know, so we're able to speculate in one sense and say, we would need to watch just in case. And may God bless even these few thoughts too.